You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. John chapter 17, that's where you'll find the text I'm going to preach on. So it's a long text, so I'm going to read it, I'm going to kind of explain as I go, and I hope it will be understandable for all of you who are here today. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today we do focus on Jesus being a God who prays. That sounds kind of unusual, doesn't it? A God who prays. Usually we pray to God, but here we have the Son of God praying to God the Father. As we think about Jesus being a God who prays, he is a priest. So a priest is someone who is in between God and the people. He goes to God on their behalf. When we think about the Old Testament priests, they transferred their sins to animals, and then those animals were sacrificed, and then after that, the priests offered sacrifices on behalf of the people, and the priests prayed to God on behalf of the people. What about Jesus, though? He is the ultimate high priest, so when we think about him, he had no sin. He sacrificed himself for our sins, and even now, he continues to pray for us. So that should be a source of encouragement for us. Paul wrote that Jesus is at the right hand of God interceding for us. So that means he is going to God on our behalf. Again, a source of encouragement. Let's know that whenever we pray, and hopefully we do often, let's know that our prayers are always lacking, but Jesus always prays in a perfect manner. So even if we don't have the exact words to say, he wants us to pray anyway. He wants us to know that Jesus is praying for us, and he wants us to know that we have the Holy Spirit within us as believers, and the Holy Spirit is communicating very deep and important things within us to God our Father, even when we cannot figure out how to put such things into words. Today we do go to John chapter 17, so the chapter breaks down real nicely into three parts. In the first part, we see Jesus praying concerning himself. In the second part, we see Jesus praying for his disciples. In other words, for the ones who were with him at that time as his disciples. And then in the third part, we see him praying for all future believers, just like you and me. Rather than start right with the first verse of chapter 17, let's go to the last verse of chapter 16. So just before Jesus prayed, he said to his disciples, "In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So Jesus was acknowledging to them that life isn't easy, but he is the winner over every difficulty in the world. And now with that said, the Bible says that Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, so now he begins the prayer, "Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son through his death, that the Son may glorify you through his perfect obedience to your will." And then Jesus continued to pray about himself by saying, "You have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So the Father, God the Father, he works by the Holy Spirit in conjunction with the Word to draw people to Jesus, to enable people to come to Jesus. Now what does Jesus do? Jesus gives them the gift of eternal life. And what is eternal life? Well, we might say eternal life is living forever and ever. But really, though, what is eternal life? According to what Jesus prayed, eternal life is knowing or having a relationship with God the Father and with his Son. Take a look there again at verse 3 on your own. And then on the topic of glorify, Jesus continued in verse 4. I glorify you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. So think about what Jesus said there. What Jesus did glorified the Father, but yet what does the Bible say? All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. See, Jesus did not sin, so he brought the Father glory. We have sinned, so we have the opposite situation. And then he went on and prayed in verse 5, and now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. So with Jesus, he was perfectly obedient to the Father, even obedient to the cross, to death on a cross. And then think about the Son of God. There he was in the full glory of heaven. And then he set that all aside. He came down. He put on flesh. He did all that he did. And now Jesus is praying, Father, when I come back, please restore the full glory to me that I had before I left. That's really what he's saying there in verse 5. Now Jesus goes on and prays for his disciples. So regarding them having faith in Jesus, Jesus prayed, I have manifested, in other words, revealed your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. What does that mean that they have kept your word? We could say that they did not lose God's word from their hearts. We could say that they did not violate God's word in their lives. And we could say they did not let anyone tamper with the word of God. In other words, twist or change the word of God to mean something else. And then Jesus continued, now that they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. So Jesus said a little bit earlier there in what I read, he said that certain people belonged to the Father, and then the Father gave those people to Jesus. So how does that fit into the rest of the Bible? Well, I believe it's talking there about how God the Father, before creation, he predestined certain people to be his own. So when the Father did that, they belonged to him. And then in time, those people were justified through the saving work of Jesus Christ. Also, too, Jesus acknowledged that his disciples had come to believe in him. And they also came to understand this relationship between God the Son and God the Father. Now, you'll find that all over the Gospels, where a lot of people thought, well, here's this Jesus, but he's separate somehow from God the Father. But Jesus tried to show people in all kinds of different ways that that was not true, that in fact the Father is the one who sent him, and they were completely working together for our salvation. So what Jesus is acknowledging there in the prayer, he is saying, Father, they get it now. These disciples of mine, they get it. They understand that you and I are working together. And that was a huge blessing. And then on the topic of keeping them, we pick up in verse 9. Jesus prayed, I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, in other words, for unbelievers, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I am glorified in them because they believe in us. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. In fact, Father, I am coming to you very soon because in less than 24 hours, I will lay down my life. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction. That would be a reference there to Judas Iscariot, that the scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus prayed. Since Jesus would soon depart, he's calling on the Father, asking him now to continue to work in the lives of these disciples in order to keep them. So while Jesus was with them, he was doing that work. Now he's saying, Father, I'm about ready to leave here. So when I leave, I'm asking you now to take care of them. And part of the response that God the Father gave was on the day of Pentecost. So 50 days after Easter, God the Father gave the Holy Spirit to the Son, and then the Son poured out the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit, he is the one who is at work through the Word in order to bless those disciples then and even to bless us today. So that is one of the ways in which God is powerfully working in order to keep us as his own. And then on the topic of joy, Jesus continued in verse 13. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. What is the source of that joy? Knowing that through Jesus, our sins are forgiven. He prayed, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So when we think about the disciples, they were in the world, but they were not of the world. The same is true for us. God wants us to think about that. So here we are in this world full of sin and death. And unfortunately, we are tainted by such things, but we're not a part of that. God has set us apart from that, so we have our sins forgiven, and we have the promise of eternal life, and so on. So even though we're here in this world, we don't belong to it. We're not going to be condemned with it, and that is very good news. And then Jesus prayed, sanctify them. In other words, make them holy in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world to speak and live the truth, so I have sent them into the world to speak and live the truth. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. So Jesus was about to be arrested, beaten, crucified, and he was willing to allow that to happen to him because he knew that by going through that horrible thing, that's how he would pay our penalty, that's how he would take away our sins, that's how the disciples would be made holy in the sight of God. Now we come to the final and third part here as Jesus prays for future believers, people like you and me. Regarding the topic of unity, he prayed, I do not ask for these only, in other words, for my disciples right now only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. See, again, he's talking about that connection between God and Jesus. So many people want to make a separation and say, well, yeah, we have this Jesus. Sure, he did this, he did that. But that doesn't mean anything because he has no connection to God in heaven. So it's so important that we see that connection. And of course, think about what Jesus said there over in Luke chapter 10, verse 16. He said to his disciples, the one who receives you receives me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. So we see that connection between Father, Son, and believers. So when people reject us, they are rejecting Christ, and when they reject Christ, they are rejecting the Father, all connected together. So if people don't see the connection, then they don't have what God wants them to have. So we are blessed to be able to see how the Father and the Son are together as part of the Holy Trinity. And then in verse 22, Jesus prayed, "The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me." So again, like I've already said, important to see that connection between the Father and the Son. And then, hopefully, as people look at us in our lives, hopefully they see a connection between Jesus and us. Hey, there's something different about that guy. What's going on there? Oh, I see now. He's connected to Jesus. May people see that in our lives. And then on this topic of being together forever, Jesus prayed, "Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world." So when we think about knowing Jesus, that's not just a thing for this life. That is a great benefit now, and that is a great benefit forever. So let's never think that this life is all there is. And then finally, at the end here, on the topic of love, Jesus prayed, "O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them." So when we think about love, think about love passing from the Father to the Son, to people who are believers, and then should it stop there? No, us as believers then should love those who are not believers. So thinking about that pattern of love, when we do that, then we are showing something important. Think about what Jesus said in connection with his washing of the feet there on Holy Thursday. Jesus said to his disciples, "By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." So that becomes a key characteristic in showing others that we have a connection with Jesus Christ. A lot there in the prayer. I'm sorry that it was a little bit disjointed the way I went about it, but it's not the easiest prayer to deal with, but I wanted you to try to understand some key aspects of it. I invite you to pick up a copy and to read through it again, and I think that will give you a little bit more understanding. Please join me in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, our God in human flesh, we thank you for praying for us long ago, and we thank you for praying for us even now. And we pray that you would keep us united with you, keep us loving others and all such things that are honoring to you, until finally we are together forever. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.